Okay, the next part of the contracts or any contract you're going to run across is talking about seller disclosures. I told you earlier in this program that lawsuits come out of seller disclosures. It's the most common cause. We call those bad house cases, and sellers aren't disclosing properly. And of course, their mantra is that my agent didn't tell me. So I'm going to spend quite a bit of time on seller disclosures as we go through this CD program, because I want you to make sure you protect your sellers by making sure they do what they need to do so they never get sued. The first thing they have to do is to do what's called statutory disclosures. What does statutory mean? Statutory means it's the law. That's something that they have to do no matter what. Okay, the first one is lead-based paint. As you know, we have to make a lead-based paint disclosure on older properties. There is a lead-based paint form, so make sure that that's part of your listing packet so that it always gets signed. The next thing that has to be done is the real estate transfer disclosure statement called the TDS. Now, everybody doesn't have to do a TDS. REOs don't have to do a TDS. Probates don't have to do a TDS. Trusts don't have to do a TDS. But the problem with that is that they still have to disclose what they know. Let me give you an example. Let's say you're on a probate, and the administrator of the probate, like a property I sold recently, was the daughter of the mom and dad who owned that house, and they had died, and the children decided to sell the property. So my client, who was the trustee, if you will, of this trust agreement, an administrator, and her four brothers decided to sell the property, and I listed it for sale. And the problem is, the TDS law says that she did not have to make any disclosures. Now, that's a problem, because here she was, a lady who had actually been raised in that house. She also had been by the property who knows how often when her mom and dad lived there, because she only lived 5 miles away. So does she know nothing about that property? Obviously, that's wrong. So what I did, though, even though she didn't have to have a TDS, I sat down with her and went through all the questions on the TDS and asked her, was she aware of any of these? And obviously, the answer in many cases was yes. So what we did is we prepared a separate addendum and basically disclosed all the things that she knew about the property. And I think that is the only way you're going to protect a probate client who's trying to say, I don't need a TDS. Now, here's the problem. A probate attorney will tell your client they don't need to make disclosures. But see, they're not real estate attorneys, they're probate attorneys. So don't get confused and put your seller in jeopardy. So obviously the issues about probate and trusts are pretty similar, because one is actually probate right after they died the property and going through a probate court. The other is that probate is already closed and now it's in trust. So the same issues apply. Now, the other area I mentioned was REOs, that is bank-owned properties. Legally, they do not have to provide a TDS, do they? And you remember I said earlier that you should go get a copy of what's called the REO advisory. And you're going to find on there that it says there's 5 or 6 or 7, I don't remember how it is, maybe it's as many as 10 different documents that the seller has to provide on an REO sale, the seller being the bank. Now, many banks don't know this. Many listing agents representing banks don't know this. So if I was representing a buyer and I wrote an offer, I would probably attach the REO advisory to my offer so that there wouldn't be any question about what's being done. Now, there's another whole category of REO disclosures that I don't think most people think about that are required. Remember I said earlier, you have to disclose what you know? So the person that knows a whole lot more about this REO property than we think is the listing agent, because here's what happens on an REO sale. The REO agent gets an email from the bank that says, we want you to list this property. We just foreclosed it and we now own it. So the first thing the REO agent does is what? He rides out to the property, and if it is vacant, he will call in a locksmith, open the property, go through it, take pictures, and basically make a list of all the things he thinks is wrong with the property and possibly a list of what he thinks needs to be repaired. Then he sends these, including photos, back to his client. And the client then says, okay, you think these things need to be repaired. How much are those going to cost? And of course, the agent either comes up with an estimate themselves or in many cases gets estimates from, you know, maybe a roofer comes out or maybe a carpenter comes about and makes an estimate. I could fix all these things for $1,700 or whatever. So that information never gets to the buyer's agent. If you represent a buyer on an REO listing, one of the things I want you to do is to send an email after you're in contract to the listing agent saying, I know that you have some information about this property and I'd like you to share it with me. Number one, do you have any photos? Number two, do you have any written reports you've sent to your lender regarding this property condition? Number three, do you have any estimates from handyman or contractors relative to repairs of this property? And number three, which is I think the big one that you forget, were there any prior sales and were there any inspections of that prior buyer? I would like you to send those to me. Now, you may not get any of these, but you've done your job as a buyer's agent. And if you don't get them, then all you need to do is tell your buyer, this is what I've done, we're not getting it, so what do you want to do, Mr. Buyer, about buying or not buying this property? The next thing that has to be provided, is, as we said earlier, is the natural hazard disclosure statement. You know about that. Also, if your seller's aware that there have been illegal drugs on this property, meth or whatever it might be, they have to disclose that. That question is on the SSD questionnaire, seller supplemental disclosure, or the SPQ, the seller property questionnaire. That question is asked, so make sure that that happens. Even though the seller might say, I don't have to answer that question, it's the law. These are statutory disclosures. Remember, I said that earlier. Also, it asks about special tax assessments or assessments for street improvements or whatever. If the seller is aware of these, then they have to disclose those. Also, it talks about Mello Roos, and if you know what Mello Roos is, this is an idea that they came up with, I think, in the 70s, where properties would be developed in these rural areas, and these smaller towns didn't have the infrastructure to be able to put in new water, new sewers, new schools, whatever. So they put a special tax on top of your property tax. And this is called Mello Roos. So it's possible that if you're operating in one of those areas, you need to find out, is there a Mello Roos assessment on top of it? And if there is, it has to be disclosed. And also, you have to disclose whether or not there's any military ordnance located anywhere near you. There are all over California military bases that had military ordinances. But again, if you fill out the SPQ and SSD, you answer these questions, all the ones that I just talked about, because those questions are all in those forms.